Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain, unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Wait a minute! 60 Seconds of Reflection with Martha Fernandez-Sardina.
He is risen! The Lord is risen from the dead. That is the song of Christians. The Lord is risen, alleluia. He is truly risen, as he said, alleluia, alleluia. For centuries, Christians the world over have been celebrating the fact that Christ defeated death. He killed death. Death is dead. Life is alive. And Jesus is alive and well. And he is inviting each one of us, knocking at the door of our hearts, to enter in, to sup with us, to dine with us, to give us his very body and blood, soul and divinity as our food. Will you welcome him? Will you season it up? Will you enjoy this Easter Sunday, Easter octave, and Easter season, 50 days of glorious celebration, and come closer to Jesus to receive the new life that he has won for you? You are one by one, one who is God Almighty. Enjoy Easter, enjoy the resurrection, enjoy Jesus.
For more information about Martha, visit MarthaFernandezSardina.com.
Good evening and welcome to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP Radio, where faith and reason meets. And we are meeting you tonight here from WCAP, 10 o'clock to 11 as usual, bringing a little sanity into our age of insanity, a little life into our culture of death. I have a very special couple of guests tonight I look forward to introducing you to, but first, your producer and mine, Miss Cindy. Cindy, how have you been?
Hey, what's up?
Not much. So you doing okay? Have a good week?
I had a great week.
You did? Give me one word that explains or describes your week.
Productive.
Ah, okay. All right. Now, there is an ambitious person who believes that good week means productive week. That's very cool. 978-454-4980 is our BTS hotline. I'm Paul Morano, your guest, as usual. And let me introduce to you our topic for tonight, ladies and gentle things, my fellow truth seekers. Tonight we go beneath the surface on the topic of premarital sex. Why are so many celebrities and non-celebrities now rejecting it? You heard me correctly. premarital sex. Why are so many celebrities and non-celebrities now rejecting it? And from left to right on your radio, there she is. 4 years ago, a guest, and now she's back, Miss Bridie Vail.
Hello, everyone. Very happy to be back on Beneath the Surface.
Happy to have you. So how have you been in the... Give me one word that describes your last 4 years, Bridie.
I'd love to steal productive.
Can't do that. Cindy, you already got that one.
Intentional.
Really? You've had an intentional 4 years, have you?
Well, the way I think about it, intentional best describes it because that's how I try to live my life. So
I see.
Oh, preach, yes.
Oh. And there he is to the right of, actually to the right of me, but to the left of Bridie is Mr. Fernando Limbo, the
Hello.
Third.
Yes.
I was telling you that I don't know of any fourths.
No.
Closer to the mic, Fernando.
Oh,
there you go.
Yes. No, I actually don't think I've heard of any fourths myself. I think probably after the third it usually drops off.
Now, before the show started, I told Fernando that even Thurston Howell III didn't have a son, at least not that I know of, and both Bridie and Fernando said, who? So I said, oy vey. It's all over, like, TV land, and, you don't have to be my age to know Gilligan's Island. But anyway, 978-454-4980 is our telephone number if you want to get involved in our conversation. Both Bridie and Fernando are from the organization Pure in Heart of Lowell, Massachusetts. So why don't we begin there, and then I'll tell you why that this topic was spurred for this very day. So, Bridie? Or Fernando, what is Pure in Heart for all those who never heard of this organization?
Well, as a good gentleman, I should say ladies first. So, Bridie, why don't you take it away?
There you go.
Thank you very much. All right, so Pure in Heart is a wonderful organization that actually began in Ireland a few years ago. Since then, it's spread through many countries in the world.
So it started in Ireland.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The local chapters that we have are actually Boston, Worcester, and Lowell. So Fernando is part of the Boston group, because that's where he's from. He actually trekked his way all the way out here today.
Pure in Heart, Boston.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You live in the Boston area, Fernando?
I live in Brookline.
Ah, there you go.
Excellent.
So Bridie, you're from the Lowell branch, is that
yes.
how?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am. So we actually started because a bunch of people from the Boston area came to Lowell to start a chapter. When they started a chapter, they kind of dug the roots down and watched it grow, handed it off to the Lowellians, if you will. And the Lowellians have tried to grow this group into something very fruitful. Living a chaste life nowadays isn't something really that people take too... I don't know. People really don't take it too seriously when you start talking about it. Mm. But when you see a group of young adults, 18 to 35, they're trying to live these lives, it really shows a great type of... example.
So for the audience to get a mental picture of what and who you two are, I know it's not polite to ask a lady her age, but can we give like an approximate of where you are in life, both of you?
Yes, I have no problem giving my
okay.
age. I'm 24 years old.
Okay.
And I'm 27.
Okay, so you both of you are square right in the middle of your
20s. That's right.
And you both are... active in an organization called Pure in Heart, mm-hmm. which, as Bridie says, relates to living a chaste life. All right. Now, as you know, since the sexual revolution brainwashed us all, beginning in the late 60s, early 70s, your generation, and I believe you're millennials, is that correct? Is that a good?
Yes.
Or are you less
mm-hmm.
than that?
No.
What are you?
We would be categorized within the millennial generation.
All right, so I'll categorize you. you're probably on the outside looking in the minority, to say the least. Why don't you explain to the audience what chastity is and why you're so into it?
Sure. Okay. No, would be more than happy to. Mm-hmm. So chastity essentially is... a characteristic of being able to essentially wait for marriage, as we like to say, it's ultimately being able to seek out the greatest yes in regards to our vocation, And so, you know, say if you're called to the vocation for marriage, it's waiting until marriage to have sex and sexual union with your spouse, or you know, if it's a vocation towards religious life or the priesthood, it's ultimately, you know, giving that sexuality, forgoing that sexuality, and offering that up to God.
Okay, a few terms there that not everybody is probably familiar with, and that is vocation means a calling, and you're using it as state of life, right?
Yes.
Somebody who chooses something for a commitment for the rest of their life. And usually that is either marriage or religious life, and sometimes it's remaining single?
Yes. Yes, okay. And sometimes it's remaining single as well.
Okay. And so you're saying that chastity is the practice of disciplining yourself so that you can give your full and entire yes, your full and entire self to whatever or whomever you choose.
That's right.
Is that a good way of summing it up?
You took the words out of our mouths and hearts.
So, Bridie, what attracts you to this? I like a good thinker, especially on the radio.
I'm sure everybody appreciates it.
No, actually, I'm kidding, but I do like somebody who thinks about questions.
Well, I did say it was intentional. Yeah. That was my word.
Ah, you're absolutely
right. So I'm not lying. It's the honest-to-God truth.
You displayed it right there.
So I guess when I think of the word chastity, I think of a call to deeper beauty.
Deeper beauty.
Yes, and I mean that pure in heart is actually devoted to Pope John Paul II's theology of body. And when we're studying this theology of the body, we're learning intrinsically what our bodies were created for. And not just what they were created for, but who they were created for and to what end. So for me to say that chastity is a call to a greater beauty, I find that by living a chaste life, I'm being called to a life, excuse me, in the realm of the way God sees me, to be truly beautiful because I'm living His will.
So then, according to you, living God's will is living beautifully.
Yes.
And you maintain a beauty by doing that. Now, it's, you know, you don't have to be a mathematician in putting two and two together to understand that what you're saying is it is God's will to live a chaste life and to give yourself wholly and fully to one's future vocation.
Correct.
Okay. Do people think you're crazy, both of you?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, that's a good sign. You know that.
I mean, yes. Sometimes I think I'm crazy.
Yes.
And that's a good sign, too. Why do you think you're crazy sometimes?
You know, I guess for a number of reasons. You know, when we think about just the way that sexuality, especially in today's day and age and amongst our peer groups, you know, it's become... it's become so easy.
Yeah,
I guess you can say is probably the best word. Mm-hmm. And just it's taken, you know, sexuality, which has been given to us as a gift, right? And it's a gift that we freely give and freely receive. To, I mean, it's something as simple as, you know, a piece of paper that, you know, people can easily give and receive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's interesting just throughout my 27 years of just being here, trying to understand the complexities of love, both in the emotional and the physical sense. And you know, when you really look down into kind of what composes of the biochemistry of love, and it's, you know, it's psychological, it's biochemical, the oxytocin, mm-hmm. you know, it's spiritual, it's emotional, and I mean all these things. So it's like, just in my mind, for example, and this is why, to answer your question, Paul, I apologize, going the roundabout way, but why I think I'm crazy sometimes is, you know, when sex can be something so easy to obtain, in many ways, it's, well, why am I not doing that? And why am I easily foregoing something that, you know, especially to, you know, amongst our peers, people say, no, I mean, it's totally fine, you know, to do this, to do that, to hook up. And, you know, it's okay to do that.
I think you hit on something, Fernando, that is key here. And it relates to what Bridie said a little earlier about the theology of the body. Mm-hmm. That human beings are complex individuals. We're higher than animals. We're not just physiological, instinctual beings.
Right.
We're certainly much higher than plants. We have a rational, intellectual, emotional, passionate, we're bodily, we're body and soul, we're mind and spirit. We're all of these things combined. So, and what you're basically saying is, and I've noticed this throughout the modern world, not only with sex, but with virtually everything, that we are living more and more a disintegrated life.
Yes.
And so we seek parts of, to sort of satisfy parts of us, but when we do that, we dissatisfy the rest of us. So it seems like what you're saying is, if you don't look at and approach love and sexuality as an integral whole, a whole in a relationship, then you are actually abusing both love and sex, and you're abusing each other.
Essentially, yes. Yes. And it can be very difficult to admit, I think, because, you know, especially, again, kind of looking at our peers, you know, in terms of like the percentage of virgins out there, I mean, I think it's certainly a lot fewer, just within our age group than, you know, if you were looking in the past. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's tough. It's really tough.
I think even taking it a step further, among our peers, I would like to know how easy it is for someone to actually admit their virginity.
Hmm.
I mean, I think that it's always been something to lose, and it's always been something where if you haven't lost it, you're not part of the in crowd. Well, I don't know. I have no problem admitting to that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I truly think that it's something beautiful. It's one thing that you're given once in a lifetime, your true virginity.
Yeah.
And if you're called to the married state, you give that as a gift to the person that you're looking to marry, or that, to take it even higher level, that you believe God has chosen for you to marry.
A unique gift, not a gift that has been given to others or another.
It's a one-time, gift.
You're making a lot of sense. And when we get back from break, I hear a little music here. What is that? That's the, there's a dance that goes with the song. Right, Cindy?
Are you going to dance, Paul?
No, I don't think so. I'm pretty musical when I sing, but I certainly cannot dance. So, when we get back from the break, I do want to mention what prompted this show. There seems to be some celebrities in the news, as well as others, including the pagan magazine Cosmopolitan, who did a pretty decent story about born-again virginity and chastity. So, you're listening to Beneath the Surface. I'm Paul Morano. My guests are Fernando and Bridie from Pure in Heart in Lowell and Boston, and you are you. We shall be back together right after this. Don't go away. Ah, 978-454-4980 is our phone number. Speaking of aching hearts, I do want to get into that too. But you're listening to Beneath the Surface, by the way, WCAP Radio. Our phone number again is 978-454-4980. Talking to two members of the organization Pure in Heart from Lowell and Boston, Fernando and Bridie. So Bridie, before the break, we were speaking about how most single people expect and perhaps even brag about losing their virginity, and you're saying it's just the opposite is reality, that it's something to be proud of to maintain your virginity because you can give your whole self uniquely and exclusively to your future spouse. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. Exactly. So to elaborate just a little bit on that, as you talked about before the break, we mentioned that, and then we just talked about a little bit further the differences between the two different versions of pride. And I explained that when I talk about my virginity, the the pride that I feel isn't sort of like a false pride in myself that I'm so in love with myself that it's such a great thing that I have my virginity. No,
right.
On the contrary, it's actually that through living out God's will, who's calling me to my virginity right now, I am seeking, not seeking, but actually receiving a pride through him. And by performing his will, that's what makes me have a positive type of proud or positive type of pride.
So, number one, you're happy that you're pleasing God.
Yes.
And number two, you're happy that you're doing things right, the right way.
Absolutely.
And that's
trying, striving.
Trying and striving, yes. And that's what gives you pride in what you're doing.
Yes.
Fernando, I see. I'm almost hearing the thoughts coming out of your head. What are you thinking right now?
Gosh, what am I thinking? I think one thing that we certainly need to bring up and talk about is, I guess to address, and maybe it's something we can talk about later as well. But for those who may have given up their virginity, before they had wanted to, or
yep.
maybe they, wanted to, and, just it had happened, one thing led to another. And, the one piece that's certainly really important to mention is that, especially too, as we talk in relationship to God, is mm-hmm. that, we have a loving and merciful God,
yes.
And regardless of where we're at, and I think the operative word that Brady had mentioned is trying, we're not the golden examples of what it means to live a chaste life. I mean, we struggle.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that has to be said, because it's not something that's easy. But I think the reason why we are part of the organization that we're a part of, and that we can speak so passionately about it, is because we've seen the fruits of what it means to struggle to live chastely, what it means to have these difficult conversations with our peers about why it's important to live chastely. I mean, sometimes too, humiliate ourselves mm-hmm. When talking about this stuff. But
it seems like you're saying the general principle that nothing good is easy.
Right.
Comes easy.
Right.
Usually, anyway.
I wanted to touch on something that Fernando was also talking about.
Okay.
Mainly, I did a little bit of research, before I came on the show, and I went to YouTube to see if they had anything that had to do with the born-again virgin movement.
Yes.
Or I guess that there's a show that came out. I'm not going to mention the show, but if anyone out there has heard of Steve Harvey, he had an all-male panel that actually spoke about this and what men think of women becoming born-again virgins. Now, I kind of thought it was funny that they just portrayed what it would mean for a woman. They didn't necessarily turn it on themselves and say what it would mean for a guy.
Right.
But everything that they mentioned was so negative. They went through four men, all celebrities, and they asked, do you think a woman could be a born-again virgin? And they all said no. One person, one of the celebrities said, well, I can't just say that I prayed and now I'm clean.
Yeah.
And then someone else said that it's not being a born-again virgin, it's going through a dry spell. So whenever I heard this, I'm thinking to myself, thank the good Lord, literally the good Lord, that he is so merciful. Because these men that are on this panel are not.
They're clueless.
And any woman that is listening to this right now, I can only imagine what it's doing to them. Maybe they got to a place where they were finally going to be able to go talk with God, go to confession, tell him that they're sorry.
Right.
And they listen to these men who are supposed to be leading them, to God. And they're not.
Right.
Mm.
And they're just doing quite the opposite. And I wasn't shocked, I'm going to say that, but
right. You weren't surprised.
I really liked how Fernando was talking about the mercy. Because I literally was thinking to myself, well, thank God that God does not treat us like these men are willing to treat us.
I mean, if he wasn't merciful, we wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
Well, gosh, I mean, love is both justice and mercy, just
right.
like God is. Both commandment and forgiveness, right? Both truth and compassion. It's the both and that God is and that love is. Now, speaking of the born-again virgin thing, this is one of the reasons why I thought about the show. I just recently read an article from the New York Post just a couple days ago. And it was citing all these celebrities. I'll just name a few. Miranda Kerr. Are you familiar with Miranda Kerr? Kiara and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson was the quarterback. I know him, the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks. Ciara, or if that's how you say her
Ciara.
Name. Oh, Ciara is the, was her was his fiancée, and I believe they finally got married. Ashley Graham, a plus-size model, apparently.
Wow.
And Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon, who mentioned this a few years ago. All of these folks were into this born-again virgin, I guess, I don't know if you'd call it a movement, but it seems to be growing, that they have rededicated themselves to remaining chaste until their wedding day. Even though I believe most of them were not virgins at the time they rededicated themselves. And one interesting line of this article, and I have it right in front of me, it's in the first paragraph, says, "But imagine if you could take your virginity back and give it to the man you were going to marry. Would you?" Now think about that. Brady, you said a lot of people sort of ridicule the notion of chastity before marriage and even after marriage, but chastity before marriage. And you're seen by a lot of people as weird. I bet if you were to take a poll and give everybody in the poll truth serum, they would answer that question absolutely. If I were to do it all over again, I would give my whole and entire self in my virginity to my future spouse.
I completely agree with you on that. Specifically to the point, too, where if you were just speaking as a woman, if you were to put our future husband that we may not know, or maybe it's someone that we're dating right now, right in front of us, and it was the man that God destined us to be with for the rest of our lives, let's say it's 10 years from now, and we get to see them. Let me tell you that every woman, no matter what their background is, would say, I'll be willing to wait for that person.
Yep.
But God calls us to a blind faith.
Yes.
And that's a part right now of living in the world that we do, where you do have to wait a little bit longer now.
Yeah,
especially if you're living a life that's contrary to the culture, which is exactly where we are nowadays.
Around 90%, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'll just say 90% of the people end up married. So it's not like your future spouse doesn't exist. You just might not meet him or her for a year, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years. You don't know.
That's right.
But they do exist. They're walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying, Bridie, is that chastity basically is a commitment of fidelity to both God and your future spouse.
Exactly. And it is completely to God, number one. We don't see God. We're not going to see God until, God willing, we receive the beatific vision.
In heaven. Yeah.
In heaven. And then we're going to see God. In that like way, if you're someone that's waiting for your future spouse, you're not going to see him either. But yet that doesn't mean that you don't believe he's out there.
Your future spouse, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Fernando, I'm listening to Bridie, and I'm seeing that you are a guy.
Yes.
And guys probably involuntarily think about sex throughout most of the day, every day of their lives.
I would say probably every minute there's something that...
right. All right, so then you speak for most guys. Chastity, when you're single, means saving yourself for your future spouse sexually.
Right.
How do you reconcile both of those things? And as Bridie also mentioned, there's a third challenge here, and that is that because of cultural, societal factors, not all of them good, marriage age on an average has gone up and up and up, and living a countercultural life like yourself and believing counterculturally, you may not meet your spouse for a long time. Having all of that together, what does that mean to you?
That's...
Is there a greater challenge in the world? It seems like chastity may be the martyrdom of the church today.
I think, if anything, it's a greater call for men to be men.
Yes.
And just as Bridie's word for the last 4 years for herself is intentional, I mean, I think that's it. You know, just for men to be intentional. And what does that mean? So, you know, especially when it comes to the way that we interact with women, it's being intentional about dating. It's being intentional about, you know, if I'm going to be, you know, hanging out with a girlfriend, that you know, it's thinking in the back of my mind, you know, could this person be someone that I could date? Could this person be, you know, someone that I could maybe potentially someday marry? I think, you know, something that I had heard back in college that I think certainly holds true, and Friday, I'd love your input on this as well. But, you know, men like to be challenged. We yeah. like to fight for something that we find valuable.
And that you believe in, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if anything, I would encourage, you know, fellow women listeners out there, you know, set the bar high, you know, for men. And don't think anything less, or don't try to set it any lower than what you would want for yourself or for your sister or your cousin. Because men need to reach that bar. And if they don't, then it's a waste of your time. And I'm just speaking on you know, brothers who, you know, who've certainly who have been weak and haven't gotten to that bar. Mm. But also too, you know, speak for the men who really want to fight for that bar and really prove themselves that, yeah, I am worthy of you know, being your partner. And you know,
and if they're not willing, then obviously either they'd be lousy husbands anyway, or they don't really love you.
Right.
Right, Brady? Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's a fair assessment, especially in the way, speaking biologically, men, I think we were talking about this the other day, Fernando and I, but men are mainly, everything's on the outside. They go by visual things.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that would be a fair assessment is very true, because when a man meets a woman, that's his first view.
Yep.
That's what he's going to look for. When a girl first meets a guy, she's going to use her vision, but she's also going to use her emotions. And what she's going to see is how this boy treats other people. How this man treats other people. How this man carries himself. Is he someone that she can actually hold to a higher standard? I mean, I especially like the way that Fernando was talking about how women need to hold men to a higher standard. Because I have so many friends that are girls that always talk about the fact that we'd love to hold men to a higher standard, but we're not sure if that's going to leave us single in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the time women, we think that we need to lower ourselves, not to say that men aren't high, because men are pretty great, let me tell you. I have a couple brothers, great father.
Yeah. We're not bad.
No, not bad at all. Kind of necessary, too, not to forget
true.
To mention that. But I have so many friends that are female that think that they have to lower their standards in order to ensure that one day they're going to get married. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like the true vocation of love that God's calling me to. It sounds like mediocrity.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm just kind of settling because I don't truly believe that God is going to choose the right person for me.
Settling seems like the right word. Fernando, getting back to being a guy.
Please.
Chastity doesn't necessarily simply mean abstinence, does it?
No.
We're not, so pure in heart doesn't say that we're called to abstinence, but to lust. It's saying that we're called to chastity. In fact, the name of pure in heart sort of says it all.
Yes.
You're not just pure in action, you're pure in vision, you're pure in heart, and you're pure in intention. Tell me about that, the difference between abstinence and chastity.
Sure. And I think, you know, just to kind of go back to the name of our organization, Pure in Heart, I mean, it comes from one of the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I mean, that's exactly it. You know, just if you have a pure heart, and if you can see your neighbor, your loved one with a pure heart, then you will see God, you know, in that person. And you wouldn't be chained down by the temptation of lust, and you know, to kind of go to your question about
how do you maintain a pure heart. Like you said, guys involuntarily think about sex all day long.
Mm-hmm.
How do you govern the eyes, the heart, the mind? How best give advice?
Sure.
To guys who are listening right now,
you know, it's about building virtue. And if you look at the, you know, the Latin root for virtue, it literally means strength.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably one of the best examples I like to give is you know, it's like when you're training for a marathon, and this is just like really training for your vocation. I mean, you don't just you know, if your marathon's tomorrow, you don't just run it tomorrow, you train for it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, when it comes to, you know, your actual vocation, the best way to train for it is to build that virtue. And so, at least for myself, you know, especially when it comes to lust or temptation of the eyes or thoughts, it's, you know, as soon as that thought comes to my mind, or as soon as I notice that my eyes are being directed someplace, it's literally asking God or offering it up to God and saying, you know, if I'm looking at a beautiful person, like saying, you know what, thank you, God, for creating this, you know, this beautiful sister of mine. Or
so you try to look at them aesthetically and not lustfully.
Right.
Is that one way of putting it?
That's exactly it. And, you know, the probably one of the greatest practices for really being able to tame lust is fasting.
Food.
Fasting from food. And it's interesting because, you know, when you think about the necessities of the human heart and the human body, I mean, food and sex in terms of survival, right?
Sure. The survival mechanisms.
And so, I mean, it's like our appetites.
Yeah.
And I just mean it very, very globally.
Those are the two bodily appetites.
Right. That's right. And, you know, it's important, you know, so when you think about, you know, fasting from food, being able to control your body, that essentially will help you to control your mind, your thoughts, your temptations.
So it's a discipline that enables you to discipline yourself in a variety of ways.
That's right.
If you're very, very good. We are hearing the music, so we need to go to a break. But good stuff. You're listening to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP Radio 980. My guests tonight are Bridie Vale and Fernando Limbo of Pure in Hearts, of Lowell, and of Boston. If you want to get in touch with us, give us a call, 978-454-4980. If you want to give your 2 cents on this issue, 978-454-4980. Back with our final segment right after this. Don't go away. And we are back. Back are we. You're listening to Beneath the Surface here at WCAP Radio, where faith and reason meets. I'm your host, Paul Morano, with my guest, Bridie Vale and Fernando Limbo, the third, talking about the premarital sex, chastity, and this notion of born-again virgin. So during the break, you folks were saying that you don't like the term born-again virgin, and one reason is because it reminds you of born-again Christians. Are you two fundamentalist Christians?
I mean, we're certainly Christian. I don't know about, you know, I guess fundamental Christian in the how the society understands or perceives fundamental Christians, but we're certainly fundamentally Christian.
But you two aren't fundamentalists. I know you're not.
No, we're not.
You're both straight Catholic young adults.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I mean, you know, it's not. You know, I have cousins who are born again Christian, and it's not saying anything. There's anything wrong about that. What I think, you know, so when looking at this whole born again virgin movement, I think what the intention, you know, or kind of what it's trying to show on the surface is certainly, you know, good in that it's this renewed sense of virginity. But something that I think is really important to try to reflect on and think about is, you know, what does virginity really mean to us? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I mean, generally we think about just the physical aspect of it, right? But I would even push further in that it's not just the physical, but it's also the heart and the state of the heart. So, you know, one of the pieces that St. John Paul II, you know, writes about, as Brady mentioned earlier, in Theology of the Body, you know, the study of God in our bodies and the, you know, intentionality of why we were created, you know, is that we're both body and soul. And if we're both body and soul, that also relates to our virginity. And honestly, you know, I can tell you that you know, One of the pieces from the lines in the Bible, in that, you know, if a man, you know, already lusts with his thoughts, then he's already committed.
Lusts in his heart.
In his heart. He's already committed adultery.
In his heart, yes.
Right. If a man commits lust in his heart, he's committed adultery. And so, And in the same way, and I would say, you know, with one's virginity, sure, you know, physically you may have lost your virginity, quote unquote. But I think, you know, just through healing, through forgiveness, through prayer, you know, your heart can regain or have that renewed virginity. And perhaps maybe that's a better way of talking about this.
Instead of born again virgin, you'd say renewed virgin.
Or
renewed chastity.
Right. Renewed chastity.
Hmm. Okay. Brady, what do you got in front of you?
Something specifically that I wanted to mention.
What do you know?
Some of my research, so there we go.
Excellent. What do you got? I'm all ears.
Pure in Heart, Lowell, not too long ago, we read this great book, and that's what we like to do. We like to take literature that is pretty much keen to what we're striving for, which is to live chaste lives. The name of this book is called Hooked, A New Science on How Casual Sex is Affecting Our Children.
Okay.
Now, this book, the way it sounds with the title, it sounds as if it should be read by parents, youth group ministers, which, yes, it's very true, but we found a lot of vital information inside of this book. And the main reason that we chose to read it was specifically because it was not faith-based. You know,
okay.
People look at our religion, or that we are religious, and think that's the only reason why they're either virgins or trying to live chaste lives, which it's a huge part of it. But in this book, they also speak about biologically how it's healthier for you to not have casual sex. There were statistics that actually said that your immune system is a lot stronger if you've had one partner your entire life as opposed to having six or seven different partners throughout your sexual experiences. I don't know if that's really like a type of advertisement, but it definitely would be to me. I think everybody nowadays is trying to be... Yeah. It's trying to be as health conscious or healthy as they possibly can to live long, prosperous lives. Well, I think that to read a book like this that's written by two secular neurosurgeons that are actually preaching abstinence over casual sex or multiple partners.
Secular as non-religious.
Exactly, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's vital information, too, that we could use when people who aren't of our faith ask us questions about why we believe what we believe. But also it's not just, because God tells us to do this, because that would not fly in many of the situations that I found myself in.
It won't fly with people who don't have faith in God.
Exactly.
Yeah, but what will fly is what you're saying, reason and science. And I assume that you believe that everything that the church teaches is for the good of the individual and the family and society. This, it would only make sense that if God exists, a morality that emanates from his word would only be good for us.
This is true. And especially, too, that we could see the correlation between the faith and the science.
Yeah.
And we were looking at it with our faith backgrounds, but also with this secular type of science, even though as Catholics we know that they go
hand in hand.
Yeah.
It was just eye-opening to have. And I encourage everybody to go out, read this book, get it on your Kindle, do whatever you have. I have it with me now on my phone. That's how easily accessible it is.
It's a book called Hooked.
Hooked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then as an asterisk. Yeah.
There have been some scientific studies recently, too, on something called telogeny as well as microchimerism. I don't know if you've heard of either one of those things, but telogeny relates to the notion that a person's sexual partner of the of one's past, by their reproductive cells, influence the eggs that are in a woman her entire life, and when she in the future marries somebody else, there are actually characteristics of the first or the other sexual partners that are involved that she was involved with.
Wow.
They're finding this with animals, and a presumption is that it could be happening with human beings too. Microchimerism, on the other hand, is the notion that cells from preborn children, fetal cells, break the brain-blood barrier, and they have been found. Studies have found them in the corpses of women, in their bloodstreams, in their brains, in some of their vital organs. And so the cells from preborn children continue to remain, according to these studies, in the woman, it seems like indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And where do these cells come from? Well, they come from people, you know, former partners who have created or procreated children with these women. So you could say in an indirect way, former partners perhaps continue, or at least their life, their cells continue to remain in the woman, perhaps throughout their lives without them realizing it.
If that wasn't a call to have one partner your whole life, I don't know what is.
And I'm sure, well, I'm not sure, but I am sure, at least intuitively, that there's going to be a lot more scientific studies in the future that confirm the biblical notion of the two become one flesh. Mm. I don't think that's just a pretty metaphor. I think there's something very real when it comes to two people becoming one flesh, and why, and that's one reason why the church is so adamant about chastity and saving yourself for marriage.
You know, something I wanted to just to add to the science piece is, and I think something that's extremely important is just the role of oxytocin.
Yes.
So oxytocin is a chemical that's you know, released in the body at three different points for women, and those include breastfeeding, when a woman gives birth, and during sex. And for men, oxytocin is released during sex.
And vasopressin.
And vasopressin, yes. Yeah. And I mean, the whole point of these hormones is to create bonding, you know, between the two partners.
They are bonding hormones, yes.
And I think that's something that's extremely important to talk about because, and I think it kind of adds to the complexity as to why, you know, sex can become addictive, and, yep, you know, why you have individuals who, you know, who want to have sex. And part of the reason why the church teaches what it does in terms of the importance of chastity and waiting, because, you know, it for us who have had friends who've been in very physical relationships, that physicalness makes, say, if you wanted to break up with somebody, it makes it very, very difficult because of the fact that you've bonded with this individual. And it's amazing, you know, and I think it's, again, another point to kind of reflect on is that God created these specific chemicals to create bonding between two people.
Yeah. And it's the bonding chemical, like you said, the bonding hormone. And you're right, when two people become one flesh, you could make the argument that they never really become two flesh afterwards because of the physical and emotional and hormonal things that occur with this bonding mechanism of oxytocin and vasopressin. But I think another thing that you mentioned, which is a little distinct from that, is the dopamine rush that occurs in lustful activities like pornography. There's more and more studies saying that pornography addiction is just as addicting, if not more, than alcohol and hard drugs.
You know, there's another good book called, I think it's Rewired or Wired, done
Wired.
Wired. Okay, so you know about it.
I think it is.
And it's great because it shows studies that have been done, you know, on kids or even young adults who've been affected by pornography and the addiction to pornography, and how essentially there is this rewiring of the brain, especially within adolescence.
Yes.
And almost like a desensitization of the mind and the body when it actually then comes to having sex and, you know, causing all type of sexual dysfunction, especially with young men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say a really good website for that, for anybody who wants to look into that, and is fightthenewdrug.org. No spaces, of course. Fightthenewdrug.org. All right, so we've got less than 5 minutes left. Have we left out anything important that you wanted to talk about, Bridie and Fernando from Pure of Heart, or Pure in Heart, that is?
I think, you know, well, two pieces for myself. I think just in terms of really wanting to live a chaste life, it is possible for anybody to do so. And, you know, for many of us, you know, including myself, who's certainly fallen off the horse many, many a times, you know, it's all about getting right back up there. And that leads me to my second point in that, you know, in order to really build virtue, it's a lot easier when you have friends who also are fighting to build virtue. And, I mean, do what you can to find, you know, that group of friends who can really encourage you along.
So important. Another thing that's very important that you've alluded to but didn't directly talk about is thank God for the sacrament of confession.
Yes.
I know both of you are Catholic, so I know you can relate to that. Mm-hmm. The sacrament of confession enables you to to be forgiven of your sins, to get back on the horse, and to continue to try again. No matter how much you fall off of that horse, God is there to give you the grace to continue the challenge.
Mm-hmm. I would like to add to what Fernando said.
Yeah.
At least I would like to add in a way where I'd like to hope that people can take aid from the saints, especially. Okay. For any Catholics out there that are listening. I mean, if you ask me how I try and live a chaste life, I would definitely advise you guys to get a prayer life. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, you don't have to have like a formal prayer in front of you to talk to God. You can just talk to him.
Yep.
But not only that, too. I mean, we have these great saints inside of our church.
St. Augustine.
But even more specifically, St. Joseph, whose solemnity is today. And how a lot of Catholics still don't know this, but he was a virgin till the day that he died.
Yeah.
And he had the most pure, beautiful Virgin Mary right in front of his eyes every single day of his life, even on his deathbed.
Yeah.
So talk about self-control.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we are naturally made to procreate, because if we weren't, mm-hmm. we wouldn't exist.
That's right.
We would have died out a whole long time ago. So the urges, as they say, the urge to merge, is nothing less than natural for everybody.
Right.
But to govern that mm-hmm. desire and that natural urge, and to be on top of it so that you can properly give it. Mm-hmm. And you folks recognize the importance of properly giving it to your future spouse uniquely. That's something that you could say you really need God's help in doing, especially today, where not only are the natural desires there, but we live in a sex-saturated culture that tries to sell you everything by virtue of sex.
Mm-hmm. Everything. Every TV show.
Yeah.
Every TV show, every movie, every single song, it seems that if you're trying to listen to music that's somewhat in, quote-unquote, today,
yeah.
almost every single song has something to do with sex, women in clubs, you know, whatever it is. It's just so objectifying, not just to women,
yeah.
but to the body, period.
Yeah. I was just watching Dancing with the Stars before I got here,
mm-hmm.
and that's supposed to be a family show.
Not anymore.
Virtually every woman is almost naked, and half naked,
mm-hmm.
and most of the guys aren't. Well, sometimes they are, but it's very very interesting how this culture seeks to exploit the very easily exploitable sex drive, if you will.
But, you know, as Catholics, we're also called to be an Easter people, especially during the season of Lent. And
yes.
I think there is reason to hope. I mean, and one of those hopes being, you know, this article that you had, you know, that has inspired you to talk about this topic today. And there's, I think, also, too, I mean, a lot of movements in a way that
yeah.
it's happening within our culture slowly.
I couldn't believe that Cosmopolitan magazine, one of the most purely pagan magazines there is, had an article about it that gave it chastity respect. Three women in their 20s.
Well, so dedicating
themselves to chastity.
I mean, there's enough going on, you yeah. know,
exactly.
in order for them to really talk about it.
Making
yeah.
moves.
Bridie Vale, Fernando Limbo, the third. Great to meet you, Fernando. Bridie, I've known you since you were a little tyke.
Yes.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for sharing such an important and personal topic today. If you want to get involved with or ask questions about Pure in Heart, where could they do, really quick?
Facebook page for Pure in Heart Lowell. Pure in Heart.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.